Okay, so Borer part two. Today we're going to talk about the heterim of Borer, of Ochel Mitoch Psoles, Miyad and Biyad. So this, we mentioned last week, is a function of either Derech Akvila or not, or the Otsar. But in general, whichever way you're going to go, the idea is that it's permitted on Shabbos to select when you're taking the good from the bad for immediate use, and you're using your hand. So when it comes to the Tanai, the condition of Ochel Mitoch Psoles, so we paskin that this Ochel Mitoch Psoles, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is across the board. Unlike Tosfos, who thinks that it depends on whether the Ochel is Merubah or the Psoles is Merubah, the first thing we should know is that we always take Ochel Mitoch Psoles. Now, parenthetically, it's an interesting question in the Achronim, and in the there's a long footnote in the Yalkut Yosef from the son of Rav Avad Yosef, Zichron Levracha. He quotes a Machlokas Achronim: when you remove one item from another item, what's considered to be mitoch what? You know, an example of this would be for a guy who takes out a bag of tea bag out of a cup of water, and the droplets go from the tea bag down into the tea. So the tea bag and the tea, that's not a taruvus, but the little droplets that are falling out are. So are you taking, because in your hand, the tea bag, the psolus is in your hand, that's psolus mitoch ochel, or because the drips are dripping down, that's actually ochel mitoch psolus, because they're going into your cup. So that's an interesting thing to think about there, nafkaminas lemaisa, about when you say ochel mitoch psolus, how do you define where the ochel is and where the psolus is? Some of that relates to the Gemara that we saw about Mishamer, where the Gemara said that when it comes to Merakid, it was the Kufla Amet Chesem and Aleph. Merakid is Psolos Maila and Ochel Amata, so too here. But then when we said according to Rava, who says, the Madam who says Mishum Borer, he says, Notel Ochel Menecha Psoles. And so Tosas had a big problem with that, right? Tosas and Beitza and Tosas here, trying to figure out what are you taking from what. So in general, though, you have to take the ochel from the psolus. And generally speaking, what you take in your hand, that's going to be your ochel. That's going to be what you're taking from the other thing. However, it's not always the case that you have to take ochel mitoch psolus. There are a couple of exceptions. So, for example, the concept of a klipa, when you have a peel outside of an orange. So we discussed this in the end of Shin Chaf Aleph, where removing the peel is essential for getting to the inside, to getting to the food on the inside. So the Bir Halacha says, oh, that's mutter. Why? Because that's called derech achila. Since the only way to access this item is by removing the peel, so we allow you to remove the psolus, since in that context, it's the only way to get to it, that's called derech achila. And similarly, the Bir Halacha also writes, this next one is in Dibra Maskel Lechol Miyad, the Bir Halacha writes that that's also true, even if it's not a klipa, but it's to gain access to something. So let's say you have a drawer full of fruit, and on the bottom of the drawer you have grapes that fell to the bottom because they're small, and on top of the grapes you have a line of oranges. And what you want to eat right now are the grapes, and even though technically the oranges are not psoles, but halachically we consider them psoles, like Tosfos said here on Ayin Dalet, because you don't want to eat them right now. That's shnei mini ochlim. So that's also a problem of Borer, but the Bir Halacha says it's okay to remove the oranges that are on top to gain access to the things which are on the bottom. Because that's the way, that's your point of access.
And that's meaning, you're saying even if there was another way to get to it, since you're gaining access?
I guess in theory you could take out the whole bin and throw it on the counter and remove the whole taruvus, be misalik the taruvus, undo the taruvus. But he's saying in this case, that's not really tikkun ochel of boger, because it's just removing the impediment that's getting you to your regular thing. And then there's one more bihalacha in Dibur Maschil Mutter, where he has a limud tchus. He quotes a Mamar Mordechai about removing fish from atzomos, the shedra of a fish, while you're eating. So he quotes a limud tchus ein sham, that even in that case, even though the bones that you're removing from the fish are the psolas, since it's either because the bones themselves are edible or because it's literally right during the process of the achila, in that case he's melamed tzchus on the people who take the bones out of the fish as they're eating and don't remove the fish from the bones. So that's that's a series of examples, the klipa, the one on top of the other, and the atzmos hadag, where it's actually okay, or at least in the last case he's melamed tzchus, to remove the psolas from the ochel. So that's a different part. So that's what I was going to get to in a second. So now you have the other exception, which is the fly in the soup case. So if you look, and this is what you were going to, I was just going to get to this. So Meir Simcha is alluding to the Taz. If you look in the Berhetev in Sifkat and Beis, he quotes from Amari Tatz, who says that it's mutter to take a fly out of the soup. Why is it mutter to take a fly out of the soup? Because there's no taruvus. We mentioned last time, big things in water, they're not betaruvus. So he has this idea. Why? Ein breira balach. What does he mean, ein breira balach? He doesn't mean that there's no borer in anything that's liquid. He says there's no borer when you have a liquid and a solid. The solid is clearly distinct from the liquid, right? Last time we spoke at length about being magdar, you need to have a taruvus to create a problem of borer. So he says there's no taruvus there. However, the Taz in Sifkat and Yud Gimel doesn't sound like that, and the Chazon Ish certainly very emphatic in Siman Nun Gimel here, Or HaChaim Siman Nun Gimel, the Chazon Ish, he's not into that. What about the little droplets of water that are between the feet of the fly? So he says there is a taruvus. So here the Taz makes a suggestion, which is accepted by many Achronim, that if you take a little bit of the mashke with the zvuv, then you're going to be okay. And this is what the Chazon Ish is upset about. He says it doesn't matter. Mazem mishaneh, if you take a little bit of the psolas with it, lamaisa, you've still removed the ocha from the psolas. So part of the answer might be, going back to where we started in terms of what's the malacha of borer. Is the malacha of borer hasaras hapsolas, or is it about tikkun ochel? Well, in this case, you can make the argument if there's still psolas hanging into the me'uruv with the... If you have some droplets of water of the tov with the ras, if you take them both out, so in that case, yes, you're being misak in the ochel, but you can't say it's a mice of hasaras apsolus, it's a mice of hasaras apsolus with ochel. Or you could say the argument, the opposite direction, say no, it's not really a full tikkun ochel. Why not? Because there's still ochel that's not misukan. You can slice in different ways, but the Svara is that if you take some of the good with the bad, then removing the bad is okay, and the Chazon Ish doesn't accept that. So according to the Chazon Ish, you have to take a big scooper and remove the whole taruvus to begin with. Yeah. So that would be another way to get rid of the psolas, is if you take a little bit of ochel out. But getting back to our main general way of doing borer on Shabbos, you're generally going to take the ochel from the psolas. But the premise is that they have to be two different meaning. Either ochel mitoch psolas mamish, or ochel meochel. Now, we did mention the Beis Yosef sounded like there was a difference, there was a halachic difference between ochel meochel and ochel mitoch psolas in terms of being mavara for later on in the afternoon, that would be more meka when it's ochel meochel. But the Mishnah Berurah and other achronim do not seem to accept this, and therefore, so halacha lemaisa, whether it's ochel meochel or ochel mitoch psolas, they're going to have the same standard. But, as we pointed out, unlike the Taz, who says that you can have borer in one min, that it's a problem to separate, let's say you have string beans, some of the string beans you're going to separate out and put them away for the weekday, and the rest you're going to eat on Shabbos. Even though the Taz says that's not acceptable, it seems that the Haskamas Achronim is against the Taz, and you only have borer when you talk about two minim. So how do you define two minim? So you get the impression from the Trumas HaDeshen that we mentioned last week that Gedolos Mitoch Ketanos is not called Shnei Minim. And that's an important factor, because let's say you have a drain catcher in your sink. What does the drain catcher do? What's the purpose of a drain catcher? Right. So what is it mafrid? Is it mafrid between different kinds of ochel? No. It's like the Truma Sadeshan said that you don't have borer if you take a little bit of A and B from a little bit of A and B. You have borer if you take A from B or B from A, but if you take a little AB from a little AB, that's not borer. So you can make the argument that the drain catcher is only mavchin between gedolos and ketanos. The drain catcher doesn't care. There's no problem of borer with your drain catcher because it doesn't care what min it is. It only cares what's big and what's small. The Prima Gadim here in the Eish Al Avram.
You could also say that it's keeping in theory the Ochel.
Right, but it's a Kli. So if it wasn't Memela, you know, that would be, you know, you could argue that it's also Mutter because it's not Kavanos Lekach, it's only Memela. Similar ideas that we saw related to the Chardal case, where you put the Chardal with the egg. And the egg is strained out because it happens memela and it's not kavanos lekach, so you can make a similar argument here. The Prima Gadim says, how are you kofeya, what's two minim? He says, look in your Yoredeya. We have the famous machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach that we saw last year. The Ramah says that it goes basar. Min be'eno mino goes basar. Shame, right? And the Shach says it goes basar tam. So in that case, says the Prima Gadim, both of those are valid here. What else constitutes two minim? The Ramah says, olim mu'upashim, slightly moldy. So you could have one min, but a group of them, of this bunch of lettuce, is slightly moldy. So that constitutes a separate min. However, if you look here in the Prima Gadim, he points out that that Olam U'Pashim case, since it's not really independently a separate min, it's just slightly different because of the moldiness, that's only going to be Bora Midrabanan. That's what the that's what Prima Gadim points out, that it's only going to be Midrabanan. But that also would be two minim. The Mishnah Brura here in Sif Katan Tesvav, it's in Shin Yutes Tesvav, he says if you have tapuchim that are chamutzim, what is it? Hold on. Chamutzim and mesukim. Okay, 1 second. Here's the Mishnah Brura about getting to the thing that's underneath. That's at the end of Tesvav. And the tapuchim chamutzim is the beginning. Mistapik aprim begadim im mikri min echad im lo. So he says, if it's chamitzu, so it's ein roi lechol, then for sure. The question is, what about ayideh adchak? So then, it's similar to olam u'pashim, and it's only midrabanan. But here's where you start to get into the nuance of what's called tuminim. So the Orcha Shabbos here in Lamed Gimel wonders about what kinds of chicken. You know, you have the dark meat, you have the flegel, you have the polka. So he says, he quotes two opinions on this. He quotes a letter from Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the footnote here, he quotes a letter from the Rav Shlomo Zalman, who thinks that different kinds of pieces of chicken are shnei minim. And I would argue
different
that...
pieces?
Yeah, different kinds of pieces, meaning white meat and dark meat. What would you say? So l'chura, you would say they're different. First of all, they have a different tam. Second of all, they have a different shame. You call them white meat and dark meat. And then, that's why it's mistapik. What about, you know, the wings versus the drumettes? So he has two different deis about this. The Chai Adam here...
Didn't the Nosei Kalem on the page distinguish between different minei ofos, which implies that within one oaf, it's a little bit of a chiddush to say that that's two minim?
It's probably true, but I wonder if that was in those days.
Meaning, so
exactly. In those days, chicken, I'm wondering. But yeah, in those days, chicken was chicken. But today, it's not. Right? Vaharaya, you have people who are very particular. You know, somebody only eats the dark meat, somebody only eats the white meat. So that's why he quotes two deyas about that, but the Orach HaShabbos quotes, and his footnote quotes from Shlomo Zalman as being machmir. And the truth is, bisman hazeh, I think it's mistaber. They're clearly different, they look different, they taste different, they feel different, they're called different things. So I could definitely see how, yeah. Because it's not a function of being concerned for mufunakim, it's trying to label whether or not you have one or two minim. And if the reality is that today people view these as two different minim, so then l'chor they should have two different shemos. Right? It's not a question of whether people have a. So that's exactly what we're saying. The Orach HaShabbos has two opinions. According to the Rama, who says that it goes basar shame, so it's possible that even in your day you could call that mimbish eino mino. I'll give you an example. Think about it this way, and it's not so radical. You have somebody who's making chicken wings. Somebody's making chicken wings, and they have 1,000 chicken wings in a big drum, and a piece of white meat falls in. So the Rama, forgetting about the taste issue, the Rama might say, yeah, that white meat is a different shame than chicken wings. Wings are wings. That's their name. They're chicken wings. You go to the, you know, they have stores. Buffalo Wild Wings. That's a thing. Wings are different than other pieces of chicken. It's a ha'ara. Chayotam says, basar tzli and basar mavushal is two minim. So theoretically, you can have two chickens, and one of them is roast chicken, and the other one is, I don't know, barbecue chicken. So that could also be two minim. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perek Yimel discusses matzahs. Perek Yimel Chaf Hei, where is it? Let's see, 1 second. No, it's Chaf Ches. Chaf Ches in the regular. In Os Chaf Ches, if the matzahs, shlemas, and shvuros are mu'urav, don't take out the shvuros and leave the shlemos, because the shvuros are not kosher for. They're not kosher for lechem mishna. B'di'evit, you could use shvuros. Shechter quotes the Metshuva from the Netziv that if a person only has slices of challah, that also counts b'di'evit lechem mishna, because the din of shalim and the din of lechem mishna are not tali habaha. But he's saying lechatchila, you're not supposed to use shvuros. So he says it will be borer shnei minim to talk about broken matzahs and whole matzahs.
Isn't all of this a little moot? I mean, we assume that Lobat Ladaika, so he obviously really doesn't want the shvuros, even if other people don't care. So it's going to create it into two minim anyway, even if it's not like objective somehow for everybody in the whole world. The same thing can happen with chicken, right? Okay, chicken. Maybe it's not really tuning for Yerodea, but over here, I always take dark meat if that's what's available.
Right, but if it was min ephod, then it wouldn't matter. Right?
If you're treating one of them as plus because it's different than the other.
But that's what I'm saying. It could be it doesn't matter. Let's say you have green beans. And you have green beans that are 10 inches long, and then you have green beans that are 9.5 inches long. So, and you're very particular about the length of your green beans on the plate. So you're going to say, I'm going to take the 10-inch green beans from the 9.5 because I want the longer ones for Friday night and the shorter ones for Shal Shudis. I'm not so sure that that's really called Shnei Minim, just because you have a Mishigas. Or if you have, you know, you decided that these green beans look slightly fresher. You couldn't. No one else could tell the difference, but you were very particular about them. So we'd say, I don't know, is it so simple that you're going to call that shnei minim just because you have a personal, particular hakpada? I don't know.
Well, there are different kinds of hakpadas. I mean, one hakpada is big versus small. So obviously there's some kind of hakpada that's okay.
Yeah.
But hakpada, like, I would never eat a 9.5-inch one that's garbage. Damn, you can't turn
I hear you. I hear you. Could be. We pointed out that different pieces of cutlery are also called different minim. A fork is different than a spoon, and that's why we had the tshuva for Rav Ovadia about splitting that up, whether that constitutes borer, whether you have to do it right before, or it's even okay to do it afterwards. The Orcho Shabbos has an interesting ha'ara also in terms of items that have different uses are also called shnei minim. He says, for example, long socks and short socks. Those are called two different minim. They're both socks. The answer is, well, you wear them for different purposes. The long socks are for the wintertime and the ankle socks are for the summertime. Lu
yitzuyer.
Lechora, one could argue that white shirts, it goes back to Yitzi's point, you could argue that white shirts are white shirts. And that the fact that one brand is Perry Ellis and the other brand is, I don't know, Hagar or Dockers or whatever, does that mean that they have a different shame? I wonder if unless there's some noticeable definitional quality to them. Exactly. So you could argue French cuff shirts are different than regular cuff shirts. But now you're going to start telling, well, their Ainsley collars are different than pinpoint collars. That's already, I don't know. That's
impossible for someone who knows such terms exist. Such terms do exist.
Right.
My father, jeans aren't pants. No way.
So then that's probably two meaning, jeans and regular pants.
Yeah, jeans pants.
Right, jeans pants are different than pants.
Pants. You can't call them jeans pants. They're not pants.
So this is all being magdir ochel mitoch psoles. So you have to have ochel, taking it from psoles. It has to be shnei minim, and even if those two minim are ochel, the one that you don't want right now, you're going to treat it like psoles. Okay. Any other ha'aras, questions, comments? Okay. So we said it has to be miyad. It has to be for immediate use. So if you look here in the Mordechai gives you the impression. It's on. Hold on. Let me find a page for you. Mordechai says here at the beginning of Klal Gadol, Yizor adam mishnei minei peros shenisarvu v'kol shkem psolos shenisarvim ochel shelo yivor ela derech achilaso yikochem v'yochlem. Take it and eat it right away. So you get the impression from this Mordechai that you have to immediately do borer. You got to do it right away. Yeah, exactly. You have to eat it right away. Your borer has to be samach mamish. Right in front of your suda. However, we saw on the opposite extent, Rabbi Yeruchim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says, no, it's the opposite. As long as it's for the next meal, even if it's many hours earlier, you finish lunch, especially in Eretz Yisrael, you finish lunch Shabbos morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock, you're already finished with your suda, you're done, Chalent is over, suda is over, you're going to have Shal Shudas at 5, 6, so no problem. And then we had the middle shita, which we saw, although it was not 100% clear, Meisiv al Suda Miyad, Meisiv al Shulcha Miyad, the Lashon of Rabbi Yochananel. And if you look in their different editions of the Rabbi Yochananel, has slightly different language, but it's the Suda, the Suda that you're going to have immediately. And the simple understanding might have been that it's from the time when you're actually about to sit down to the meal. However, many Achronim understood it differently, right? The Rama writes that Kol Ashabar Litzor Osa Suda Shemesiv Bamiyad Mikri La'Alter. And on that idea, the Magen Avram later in Shin Chaf Aleph, the Magen Avram says, yeah, that means you can't do Borer, let's say, before people come home from Shul. Let's say you have somebody, oftentimes, what's that? Yeah, that's the Magen Avram gives the Shir about coming home from Shul. Let's say sometimes I'm out of shul in the morning, Nechama's getting ready for company, and then she takes care of all the food preparations. She'll come to shul, she'll daven, pick me up, whatever, and then we'll go home. Other times she won't come to shul, she's just preparing for the Suda. So the third option would be for her to prepare everything when she gets back from shul. She comes to shul, gets back, and prepares. So the Magen Avraham says, you know what the barometer is? The barometer is she can't prepare, do her borer, call that miyat, and then go to shul. So Rav Moshe has an etshuva in Ayin Dalid, in Or HaChaim, in that this like the series of little tshuvas about the malachos. So he says that it's the normal time for people to prepare. That's similar to the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Dalid. So exactly, like the Mishnah Berurah says, even if it's like others say also, the Mishnah Berurah is a different point, I'll get to in a second, but it doesn't mean that you have to leave all of your borer items that you need to prepare as the last step in your pre-meal preparation. It means that you need to do your pre-meal preparation. You need to do your pre-meal preparation. I guess you call it consecutive to your meal. Let's say this meal, you have a lot of company, you have a lot of things to do. It's going to take you an hour and a half to prepare. So that hour and a half, that's your window. It doesn't mean that you have to leave all the borer items to do the borer at the end. You could do them at the beginning of your hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, however long. It's going to take you 2 hours to prepare for this meal. It's just that you can't do those 2 hours at 9 in the morning, then go to shul and then come home. And it's also true, the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkat Dalet, that you can prepare before the meal for all the courses that are going to be in that meal. So let's say you could do your borer for dessert, because the dessert is part of the meal, even though you're not going to sit down to dessert for another couple of hours.
That was the Mishnah Berurah?
Yeah, that was the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Sifkat Dalet. Right? And again, we mentioned before, this question of timing, La Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, does not accept the diuk that Beis Yosef makes in the Rambam, even though the Magen Avraham does accept it, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't accept it, and so we're going to be machmir, even if it's ochel me ochel, that it needs to be right before this meal.
Did you say that?
We said the Beis Yosef was makel on ochel me ochel, but the Mishnah Berurah says we don't accept that kula. Now, what about if you intend to do the borer for this meal, and then it just gets left over? So, one of the chevra brought to my attention the Shar HaTzion in Hay, who says, "In bira laoz the suit of achak nimlach laoz v'le suit acheres after chiyav chadas ein bezeh de kod malais machshavi kamakom lo." He quotes it from a prima garden. And then he says, "Vitzarech raya l'dvarav." He says, "I'm not so convinced on that." And the truth is, it's a very difficult svara to understand. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe writes beferish that there's nothing wrong with leaving over the food that you didn't get to. Why not? Because he says, when you did the borer, you did it with kavana to use it right now. The fact that it got left over, what do you care? This was Rabbi Kraft's argument, I think, the other day. I forget who you were battling this out with, but that was the argument, right? Lamaisa, you're planning to use it now. The Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, yeah, that's it. You shouldn't do harama. Harama's not okay to say, oh, I'm doing a bunch of borer right now for this whole suit, and then, you know, it's a joke because you know you're not going to eat that. I guess you would go with what we call the reasonable man test. What's reasonable that you're going to eat in this suda? So I saw an interesting machlokas, a poskim, quoted in the Yalkut Yosef. What about lechabe the orchim?
Where did you see this Yalkut Yosef?
Yeah, in the Yalkut Yosef, in one of the footnotes. I forget where it was. He quotes an interesting machlokas between the Benish Chai and other poskim. What about, in a case, and the truth is, we've all experienced this. Let's say you have 10 people over in your meal. Well, you're not going to put out, you know, just exactly betzimtzum what you need. You're going to add extra. Let's say you have a smaller group, and you know that some of this is going to get left over, but the reason you're putting it out is because you want to be mechabed the orchim. So he quotes 2 days about that. Is the kibur of the orchim exactly? Is that called tzorach hasuda? Interesting. Or do you say not? Another similar type of question, an interesting question, is what about defrosting? So the Orach HaShabbos here in Os Nun Hei talks about, let's say you take a challah out of the freezer and it needs time to defrost. In Nun Hei, Os Nun Hei, where he quotes from from Rav Yashiv and Rav Karelitz, Rav Nisim Karelitz, that since that is going to take a while for it to defrost, that's not called Lialter. However,
can you see the same score? That's the time that you need to prepare.
So exactly. However, so let's say you have a bunch of things mixed in the freezer and you're taking out a challah from that mixture. And you're going to let it defrost. However, he quotes in the footnote from Rav Shlomo Zalman that one could argue the opposite. And he says that Rav Shlomo Zalman first thought that to leave it in the fridge to cool off would be okay. And then he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman from the third chelek that Rav Shlomo Zalman was closer, and that you can only be matir in the time, but often shirigilam lasas is hachana zudafka b'samach l'suda, and not to do it before. Even if it's nimshach zman rav, even 3 or 4 hours, but in a case where there's no kpeda, then you have to do it samach l'suda.
So what does it mean for us?
So I think what it means for us is that if you're taking
something to the helm if it's still frozen.
So I think what he would say is, if you take out the challah, let's say within that 1 or 2 hour window before, which is called samach l'suda, so then it's okay. But it sounds like he would be machmer to say to take out the challah at 6 o'clock in the morning
because it needs
5 hours to defrost, which is a little bit difficult because. Well, that sounds like that would be a problem.
That's also assuming that there's a tarubis in your freezer.
Yeah, it's assuming there's a tarubis in your freezer.
Which is lavdafka.
Well, it could be. You have a challah roll, and you have one challah roll, and it's all exactly with all kinds of stuff mixed in it. Exactly. It's possible.
I mean, you could argue that in that type of situation, your window of preparation
exactly
just expanded.
Just expanded 5 hours for your... Right, exactly. But he's machmir in this question, the Orach HaShabbos. Okay, so we said, Olchem mitoch ha'psolos. It's got to be biyad, and it's got to be biyad, not with a kli. So the Gemara told us in Ayin Dalet that there are two kinds of kelim. There's the nafo kvara, there's the bona fide, real, sifting, specialized piece of equipment, that's chi of chatas, and then there's the knon of a tamchoy. So knon of tamchoy is pater aval aser. So why are those things pater aval aser? So they're pater aval aser because it's a shinoi. But what about every other kind of kli? Is there something about these kelim or not? So there's the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Yudalid, where the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mutar laros benachas mikli lechavero uvelvad shiizoyer," etc., etc. Don't get into the Shalos of Breira, which is a different question in terms of what's mukdar as a taruvus with the nitzotzos. We talked about that a little bit last time. But you see, the Shulchan Aruch writes this also in the Beis Yosef, you could take two cups and pour from one to the other. So there is some discussion here in the Achronim as to whether or not this would constitute Boer at all. Because in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, you're not really getting to any Shiloh of Boer, because you're taking it off before you get to the Nitosis, you're not getting to a Shiloh of Boer. So if it's not a Shiloh of Boer, then you could do it whenever you want. It's not Boer, you don't have to do it Miyad. But some of the Achronim say, well, that's because you're not getting to the Shiloh of Boer, but if you did it Miyad, Samach L'Suda, even to remove the Nitzotzos from the sediment, that would be okay, because it's Miyad. And what do you see from here? And the truth is, the Magen Avraham makes this point right here on the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham says, you see from here that a cup is not similar to a Ka'ara. Why? Because in the case that we talked about, the Knon and the Tamchui, those Rashi explained, they had a special shape. And utilizing that shape assisted you in the Maisa Borer. But a cup, there's nothing about a cup that enables you to do Borer in a more effective manner. That's nothing to do with it. It doesn't help you at all. And that's, if you look there in the Machtzis HaShekel, he points this out, explains this in the Magen Avraham on that Sivan Shulchan Aruch. And you learn from this that if you have a kli, even though the kli is technically a vessel, it's not using your finger, it's not poel on the ma'aseh borer, and therefore it's going to be okay. Now, you're right, if you look there, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Adam who disagrees with this, but this argument, l'chora, is the basis for Rav Moshe's argument in Chelek Aleph and Simen Kuf Chaf Dalet, Aleph Kuf Chaf Dalet, where Moshe points out that using cutlery b'zman hazeh does not constitute necessarily a problem of borer. How so? Because Rav Moshe says, wait a second, why are you using a spoon? You're not using a spoon when you pull the beans out of the chalent or the chalent out of the beans that you want to eat right now, ochel mitoch psola / ochel miyad. You're not doing that because it makes it easier to pull the beans or the potatoes out. You're doing it because it's rude in the year 2017 to eat with your fingers. It's just an extension of your yad, Rav Moshe says. And therefore, there's nothing unique about that. And this is the great debate about peelers. Some poskim say, based on this, that a peeler is also mutter. That just like you're allowed to use a knife, a peeler is the same thing as a knife. It's just an extension of your hand. It doesn't really help in the ma'aseh brera. And so even if you assume that peeling is a violation of borer, a potential violation of borer, like the Mishnah Berurah points out there in the end of Shin Chaf Aleph, but peeling with a peeler is no different than peeling with a knife, which Rav Moshe says is no different than peeling with your hand. But others argue, not so fast. No. There's a big difference between a peeler and a knife and your hand. The peeler has a blade which is shaped in a very specific way to ease the removal of the klipa, and just the removal of the klipa, nothing else. And that's why there are many people who are machmir. Now, if you use the peeler, there may be another reason to be lenient, because if it takes out some of the flesh of the fruit or the vegetables, and then you could say, oh, it's removing either the entire taruvis, or like the taz, it's removing the bad with some of the good. But this question is predicated on the initial understanding that it's not necessarily true. Not every kli is a violation of borer b'kli. There's the nafa and the kvar, that's d'oraisa. Then there's the kanon or the tamchli, that's d'rabanan. And then there are some kalim, like a cup or a spoon, that don't really add to the ma'aseh borer, and therefore they're going to be permitted. So every time you're going to use a kli, you need to figure out what category it falls into. So to summarize, yeah?
With regards to that, that sounds like a kind of a tampa. I mean, you're getting rid of the tarubis. You're using miyuch of the calf to get rid of the tarubis, no?
In that case, assumably what's happening there is you're only removing one min from the other.
Right, so I'm saying, I talk anyone's peeling to only get off the peel, that would be a problem, right?
That wouldn't solve your problem. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. According to that taz, it'll help you. And that would be assuming, by the way, that the taz would agree that it's okay to use a more specialized piece of equipment, right? The taz is only makel in that heter by taking out the fly. It could be there's a separate issue of using a kli miyuchad laborer. It could be there's some mukta problem or something like that. But bi'ikaron, that lechura, that svara might apply. It's certainly, if it's a substantive, sizable amount, at least recognizable amount of the flesh that's coming out. So at the end of the day, we remind ourselves that we need to do ochel mitoch psolas to figure out what are the shnei minim, what is the ochel, and when are the exceptions that you're allowed to take psolas, what is called miyad, and samuch lesuda, and making sure that we don't get too far ahead, but even if you leave some over by accident or unintentionally afterwards, the Rav Shulchan Aruch said that's okay. And then bakli, with Rav Moshe's heter, similar to the idea of the Magen Avram, that certain kalim, because they are not aiding and assisting in the mechanism of borer, those two are permitted. It's not a problem to use them on Shabbos.